Good morning. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I've titled this sermon, The Anxious Sheep, and the sheep analogy I'll be using for my points comes from verse 32 of Luke 12, where he says, "Fear not, little flock." Though I won't be preaching on that passage, I chose to keep the analogy going. Well, let's first read from Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you so anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come before your word today and ask that you would encourage us. Lord, we endure so many things that cause anxiety in our life. And Lord, I pray that this passage that Jesus spoke so many years ago would be a light to our hearts. That we would see your truth and realize, as your sheep, we have nothing to fear. Let come what may, we have a shepherd who defends us, a shepherd who cares for us, a shepherd who feeds us and clothes us, a shepherd who died for us. May we be encouraged by your word today. Amen. Growing up, I'm very different from my brothers. I have two older brothers, and we're as different as night and day, and I mean, it just couldn't be more different. But we all approached taking tests in school a different way. You see, my oldest brother, he would spend a ridiculous amount of time studying. He's very smart, but he would spend a long time studying. And when it came time to take the test, he would sit down, he would know all the material, and then he would forget it because he was so worried. He had severe test anxiety. I mean, he couldn't do it. So even though he knew the material, because of his anxiety, it muddled what he had learned. Now, Parker, the middle brother, he had a very different, kind of more laid-back approach. He thought, there's no reason to be worried if you don't study. So you know, I mean, the test would come, and he would say, I just don't feel like studying. And so because of his lack of knowledge, he would still do poorly on the test. Now, I'm going to apply this to the sermon in just a moment, but the way I would always approach tests, I like to learn from my older brothers. And so the way I look at it is I study, I prepare till I feel like I know it. I sit down, I take the test, and whatever I get, I get. I've learned to accept that I can only do as good as I can do, no more, no less. And as long as I've done what I can do, it's not up to me beyond that point. And so, you know, I don't have test anxiety. I'm thankful I don't. But you see, all three of us approached taking tests in a very different way. But all of you approach the tests of life in some of the same ways. Some of you know the promises of God. You know he says he will defend us. You know he says he will provide for us. But when those tests come, when you go through trials, you allow your anxiety to muddle and cause you to forget what you know to be true. As Dr. Oreck often says, don't doubt in the dark what you've seen in the light. And then there are others of you who just simply don't know the promises of God. So when those trials come, you have nothing to stand on. You have no hope. You have no encouragement because you never learned about what God has said he will do for us. My hope, now I don't have this perfect, but my hope is you would approach it more like how I approach taking tests. Understand God's truth. Understand his promises. Don't be anxious about your hardships. Because you can sit down and say, let come what may, I know there's someone over me. I know I can do what I can do. The rest is up to him. And so I hope that you'll see that today. Jesus here in this passage will offer us four good reasons as to why we should not be anxious. But I'm going to go with this sheep analogy. So first we will see that the sheep are more than animals. Then we will see that the sheep are valued. Third, we'll look at how the sheep are helpless, but the shepherd is not. And fourth, because of those things, you should seek the sheep, seek the kingdom. Many of you are probably anxious about all sorts of things. We have freshmen here who are starting college, others that are returning. Some of you may be going into elementary, middle school, high school. Some of you have kids who are going off and doing these things. Some of you have doctor's appointments where you're not sure what the results will be. No matter your anxiety, Jesus said, do not be anxious. And so I want to offer this encouragement. I want you to listen. If that is you today, if you have some kind of anxiety in your life, listen to these words that Jesus spoke. First, the sheep are more than animals, starting in verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. This is coming off the heels of a parable Jesus tells where a man builds these big barns. He prepares for the future. He does all these things. But then God says, today your life is demanded of you. And so the disciples are probably sitting there thinking, well, if we can't prepare for the future, what are we going to do if something happens? And so Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious, because there is more to life than just the physical. That man who built those barns was not rich toward God, he was only rich toward man. But you see, the sheep are more than animals. Think about like a wolf, okay? A wolf does not think about the things of God. He thinks about hunting. He thinks about eating. He thinks about the pack, maybe. He might take care of those in his pack, but he doesn't love them, right? He's doing everything for himself, kind of like, you know, natural selection kind of deal. The fittest will survive. But as the sheep of God, we are not constrained to merely the physical. We have a much greater problem, and it's our standing with God. And so are you right with the Lord? If not, then you have something far greater to be worried about. On the flip side, if you're a Christian, then your greatest hurdle has been conquered. The thing that should have caused you the utmost dread and anxiety has been defeated. If you are a believer and your sins have been forgiven, then the unachievable has been achieved by God. So why should you worry about something as small as food and clothing? If he can go through all the steps, through all the challenges and heartaches to achieve reconciliation for you, why would he let you starve? Why would he let you do without? Why would you not trust him after all of those things? Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Jesus says, you're not just animals. Animals only care about survival. You need to have your mind set on the things above, as Joel read from Colossians 3. In Psalm 37, as Max read, we saw that the wicked, they have all these things, and they're trying to attack the righteous, but what did it say? It says they'll be defeated. But the righteous will stand. They will be upheld. Because the reality is, there is much more to life than just the physical. So first, the sheep are more than animals. But second, let's look now at how the sheep are valued. In verse 24, it says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. how much more value are you than the birds? So you see, we as the sheep, as the flock of God, we're more valuable. Now, Jesus says, all right, look at the ravens, okay? They're animals that feast on dead animals, okay? They don't plant things. They don't work a job. They don't prepare. They don't build storehouses or barns. What do? They wait for something to die, and then they eat. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you was walking around outside and you saw a bird fall from the sky and you said, oh, must have starved to death? I mean, that doesn't happen. I don't know about you, but I ain't been walking around and just saw a bird fall and thought, didn't get enough food, should have ate better, you know? That doesn't happen, right? Jesus says God feeds them. And so what he's trying to say is that if God would feed all of these animals who think nothing of the things of God, but they merely go about, they sing, they rise and feast on whatever falls, if he would feed them in droves, and you've never seen one such as they go hungry and starve, why would you fear? If you're his children, are you not much more valuable than a bird? You, who God sacrificed his only son, you who he blesses, who he keeps, you who he loves and cherishes. In Matthew 7, Jesus said that if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more for God? Because he's good. So if evil people can give good things to their children, why would God, who is good, not give graciously to us? You see, we are more valuable as his children, as his flock. So take courage. Let that alleviate your anxiety. You have value in God's eyes if you are a child of God. So the sheep are more than animals, but we also know that they're valued. Let's look thirdly and see that though the sheep are helpless, the Savior is not. The shepherd is not. Jesus says in verse 25, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" So Jesus says, think with me for a moment. Why are you so worried if you can't live any longer than what God has ordained? Why are you worried about all these material things, all of these temporal things, when no matter how much you worry, you can't do anything about it? I mean, if you just sit around and worry all the time, what do you get done? Nothing. You see, God has appointed for man to die once and face judgment. He has our names written down in his book of life if we are believers. And you know what? You will never live a day longer than what God has determined, and nor will you live a day shorter. So if you believe that God is sovereign and he is in control, then you ought to trust that he will take you to the point he has deemed best for you, and he will not forsake you until that point. And beyond then, if you're in Christ, he's not going to forsake you there either. But if you trust that God is good and that he wants what is best for you and what he has chosen your paths in life, why worry? It makes no sense. I mean, if I had an ant farm and I could speak to these ants, you know, I would really laugh if they started freaking out on me. If they were like, there's going to be an invasion and I'm not going to get enough food, and I'm just going to sit here looking at my little ant farm like, what do you mean? What's the problem? You need more sugar? All right, here you go. You're worried about invading ants? Well, you're in a box. What? I mean, it would make absolutely no sense because I am in charge of them and I'm taking care of them. And you know what? If I wanted to get rid of them, I could. But I could keep them as long as I wanted to as well. But that's kind of the same idea. You know, what is a cube of sugar to us? It's nothing. So I ask you, what are your daily needs? What are your small needs in comparison to a God who made the very earth by speaking it into existence? What are a few pieces of bread to a king of everything? If you really believe that God is in control, where's your anxiety coming from? Is it muddling and confusing what you understand about God? Jesus here in the next verses gives us a really good illustration for what he said. He says, consider the lilies in verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They do not toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, Jesus says, you know those wildflowers that pop up? Buttercups, dandelions, sunflowers, whatever it is. I mean, they're beautiful, right? Now, if you're like me and you have allergies, you see them and you're like, oh, that's nice, they should go away. But in reality, they're beautiful. But they're only here temporarily. They're here with the spring. And if you're like me and they come up in your yard, you mow over them. But if God would be gracious enough to give beauty to something so short-lived, if he would provide the rain and the wind and the shade and everything that that plant needs to grow, even though it could die in a matter of minutes from something, from a cow walking by and stepping on it, why would he not make you so beautiful too? Why would he not take care of you? You who live for years, you who have an immortal soul, you who he died for. He said that Solomon was not as beautiful as the flower because Solomon, he had riches. He had a lot of things. The flower has nothing but God, and so it is more beautiful than even Solomon. So, the sheep may be helpless, but the shepherd is not. And last, we'll look in verse 29. It says, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. The sheep. You want to cure your anxiety? Jesus says, stop thinking about the things here below. So my fourth point is seek the kingdom. The sheep seek the kingdom. Jesus says, if you seek the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. Why? You realize everyone needs the same things you do. But here's the encouraging part. You're not the first one to start school. You're not the first one to go to a doctor's appointment. You're not the first one to have a kid leave. You're not the first one to, whatever it is, fill in the blank. Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new under the sun. And if our God has delivered his people through all of the same things in the past, what are you worried about? Why would he not do it for you? If your problems and your anxieties and all these things, if they're not new, if God knows you need them and he's provided in the past, why are you worried? It would make no sense. But it says, seek his kingdom instead. And that's really what you need to do. You always hear, like, when is a thief not a thief? Well, it's not when he stops stealing. It's when he starts giving back. Or the joke, when is a door not a door? When it's a jar. Ha, ha, ha. It's a knee slapper, you know. But the reality is, not being anxious is not merely sitting around and just, well, I'm just going to take whatever. No. It's saying, I don't know what's coming, but I know God is good, and I'm going to pursue him. It's saying, I may not know what tomorrow will bring, but I know that while weeping may endure the night, joy will come at dawn. Knowing that you are a sheep And once you are in the hand of Christ, no one can take you from that hand. It's knowing that God is the one who declares tomorrow, no matter what you face. As 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man, but God will provide the grace for you to overcome it. It's believing that. It's not becoming crippled and your anxiety and your fears about the future and about all these things that are happening. It's saying, no matter what comes, I know God is good and He works together all things for my good. For those that love Him, I'm valued. Don't be content in just saying, it doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't, you know, He doesn't care. I'm just gonna sit here, do my thing, and whatever happens, happens. That's not the attitude of a Christian. That's not the attitude. Seek first His kingdom. Seek to please and glorify Him. Seek to proclaim His name. And all of these lower things, all of these lesser things will be added to you because God knows you need them. In verse 32, it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus says, don't be afraid. God knows your needs, and He is your shepherd. He will take care of you. It's my prayer that whatever it is you came here today, all of your anxieties, that you would lay them down at the feet of Christ. And that you would not be content saying, I'm not sure what tomorrow holds, but you would say, I'm going to search the Scriptures. I'm going to see what His Word says, and I'm going to take comfort in that. Let me close this in prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank You for this Word. Thank You that You spoke these encouraging phrases to us so many years ago. Lord, we know that sheep are more than animals. Lord, we can't be content only looking at the things here below. But Lord, help us set our minds on You. Help us call upon the Savior. Help us repent. Help us believe. Let us also see our value in Your eyes. If You who would die for us, it would be kind of silly for us to starve, would it not? But we let us know that we have value. Though You take care of even the ants, we can take comfort. You'll take care of us too. And Lord, though we might be helpless, though we may have so many circumstances we cannot control, there is one who can, and it is You. Let us accept what You have for us. Let us take comfort knowing that You care and that You have deemed what is best for our path. And Lord, help us seek Your kingdom. Let us not be distracted by the things here on earth. But let us put our minds toward You because You are far greater than any trial we face. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together, church, and sing this song in response to what we heard.